You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
Amen. Well, I'm happy to have Pastor Corinne up here with me today. She always makes things more fascinating and beautiful.
Thank you.
I want to talk today about the Holy Spirit, and in a title, Show Me the Fruit. I remember the movie Jerry Maguire when he said, I need you before I say that I'm going to let you still be my agent, I need you to say for me, show me the money. And I need to hear you say it real loud. Well, I think this is so much more important, so much more profound when we talk about this. Show me the fruit. Will you say this one time? Show me the fruit.
Show me the fruit.
No, look at somebody and have that stanky face and say, show me the fruit.
Show me the fruit.
I just wanted to see if you could do that. We're talking about the Holy Spirit, and when the Holy Spirit gets at work in your life, it's transformational. It's always transformational. If we're yielded to the Holy Spirit, it will always transform us, and it transforms us into the image of Christ. And if you'll go with me to Galatians 5, 22 through 23, this is what I kind of want to land on and take a look at. Galatians 5, 22, 23 says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our life. Somebody say fruit.
Fruit.
Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against these things. See, because I believe that many Christians are on the wrong diet. They're consuming things that they shouldn't be consuming. And so that's why they're reproducing the wrong thing in their lives. They're not able to reproduce the life of Christ because they're consuming the wrong things in their life. Look at somebody say the wrong diet.
The wrong diet.
See, just like the garden, we can partake in the wrong fruit. And I think that's what happens far too often if we don't, if we aren't intentional about our lives. We begin to consume the wrong things.
You know, I think so much of that is because what we put in is what we get out. how much of God do we put in ourselves? How much of the Holy Spirit do we allow to be active in our hearts? One of the reasons that you hear me or some of the other people up here on the stage when we're doing worship say, you know, Holy Spirit, we invite you. Holy Spirit, we make room for you today or in our hearts. Is because we have to create this a welcoming place, not just this location, but in our hearts, in order for him to come in, because he's the one who cleans everything out, right?
Yep.
Some of us wonder sometimes why we struggle with certain things. And just like a couple of examples, if you struggle with anger, you know, and you're a person who's always listening to stuff that's going on Facebook, on the media, that's, you know, harping on more things that are angry, then what do you think it's going to do? It's going to stir that fire.
Right.
So we have to like measure in our lives, how much are we leaving room for the Spirit to be greater than all these other things that we're allowing to input?
Right.
What are we entertaining in our conversations? The things that we speak about. You know, I've said this before, that there's times where we get to talking so much in the Spirit. And I remember before we even got married, we would talk about the things of God and allow the Spirit to become so tangible that in the middle of a Starbucks, we could feel the presence of God.
That's right.
And that's the same thing with anybody. When you allow the Spirit to be greater than what's going on in the world around you, you can then truly be walking in the presence and the Spirit of God.
It's so important to walk in the presence and in the Spirit of the Lord, because if you eat the world's fruits, you'll get the world's results.
Right.
Amen. Galatians 5, 24 through 25 says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Can I read that one more time?
Yeah.
Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. If we go back a little farther, Galatians 5:19-21 says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, amen, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Can I tell you, if you act the same as the world, the Holy Spirit is not at work in you. Very important to understand. If you look the same, it means that you've been eating the same, you've been consuming the same. And so that's why you have the same fruit. The Holy Spirit, let me say it one more time, is transformational. So whatever he does, there is change. There's always change. This is actually the definition of repentance. Repentance is not just saying, I'm sorry. It's not just making an apology. It's not just something of words. Actually, repentance is a thing of change. It means to turn and go a different direction. And this is what the Holy Spirit helps us do. This is what the Holy Spirit leads us into is repentance. Coming to Christ and following the leading of the Holy Spirit, he's going to lead you in a very different direction. Because the Holy Spirit, and we have to make sure we get this, the Holy Spirit is not an add-on. The Holy Spirit is the one that transforms us from the inside out. Right. Transforms us. It's not an add-on. It's not an appendage to whatever you got going on already. The Holy Spirit is the thing that changes everything from the inside out. Say it one more time. When they show me the fruit. I want to go through some of these fruits today because by your fruit you'll know them. Jesus said in Matthew 7:16, he said you can identify them by their fruit. That is by the way they act. He made it real plain. He said, I was kind of speaking in a parable there before. By your fruit you'll know them. That means by the way they act, you're going to know them. And he says, can you get grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? It's evident when the Holy Spirit is at work in your life because fruit is developing. Fruit is developing. It shows how much you're yielded to the Holy Spirit by how much fruit you bear. Does your walk have evidence? Look at somebody and say evidence. Does your walk have evidence of the Holy Spirit?
There's another scripture that I think is appropriate for this, and it says they will know we are Christians by our love. The love is the fruit that we have Christ, that we have the Spirit active in our hearts. And yes, it's the first fruit. I'm leery of a person who says that they are for the cause of Christ, but then they're lacking in the fruits. Because you can have gifts, but if you don't have the fruit, if you don't have the things that build the character to carry those gifts on, then you sound like a clanging cymbal. As, you know, we see in Corinthians. But I want to challenge us to really measure ourselves, because how can we truly be Christians and not have love in our hearts towards people? How can we truly be walking in the Spirit if we're full of anger and frustration? You know, I think there's something beautiful about holy discontent when we are not conformed and we're not okay with what's going on with people in this world, and we want to make a change. That's one thing, but to allow ourselves to be driven by anger and frustration, that's not the fruit of the Lord. We have to get to a place where we can be patient, where we can respond with kindness, gentleness. We can have self-control. You know, can people identify you because you are walking in those things? They can say, I know this person is like, I love the way that they portray Christ. You know, when we can come to a place where we actually are the standard and not the, oh, that's another person that says they're a follower of Christ, but they struggle with all these things, and they talk about us behind our back, or yeah, they're a holy roller, whatever it is. You know, I think we have to get to a place where we can say, God, I submit my heart and my life to you. Holy Spirit, do a work in me where you can flush out all my weaknesses. You know, of course we have weaknesses, but in our weaknesses, the Spirit makes us strong. Amen.
You know, one of the things that I love, you started to talk about love, is when you walk in the doors of Hope, you're sure to experience love, the way that you're greeted. And as a believer, you know, love should always lead our thought process. We should see through the eyes of love. We should make decisions through the lens of love. Love is the first fruit that's mentioned here in Galatians 5:22. And actually, 1 Corinthians 13:13 tells us three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. It goes on to say other things will pass away. Certain things that are important now, certain things that are important on the earth, that those things will pass away. But love will only become more important and more central as a theme. So important is it that we love one another. 1 John 4:7-8 says, "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God, but anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. The more of this fruit you show, the more you resemble God." And I think that's profound. The more that you show the fruit of love, you actually resemble God. And you look like a disciple of Christ, is what the scripture says. And the less you have the fruit of love, the less you look like you belong to God. The more you become a stranger to God when you don't display the fruit of love.
God said a lot of things in his word to us. He gave us a lot of instructions, but two of the greatest commandments that he gave us was love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, right? The second one was to love our neighbors as ourselves. For those to be the two greatest commandments, it says what he feels about love. He not only tells us to love, he says, "I am love." So Jesus took it to another level when he said, "Now love your enemies."
Right.
And I want you to think about that
today.
So
love God.
Love God.
Love your neighbor.
Love your neighbor.
Love your enemies.
Love your enemies.
Just love everybody.
Just love everybody. He said, "Love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you." That's a tough one, right?
Yeah.
But I think that is something that if you really look at it, it's not humanly natural. It doesn't come to, what is our first instinct? To put a block on somebody, right? In the natural, say, okay, shun a defriend. You know, I'm not talking to you anymore, or worse. I'm sure there's some worse things out there. But the point is that it doesn't come natural to us to say, "Oh, sure, you know, I love you with the love of the Lord." And realistically, we have to fight those natural feelings. But the way that you fight those things is to allow the Spirit of God to lead in your heart, to not allow your emotions to get ahead of you. Those emotions are there because they're a part of us. It's a natural part of our lives, but we don't let those things lead. So the Holy Spirit is the one who gives us the ability and the strength to love that way.
And I want to talk about joy for a second, because I think in this day and age, it's so important that we get a hold of this fruit, the fruit of joy, because we live in such a society. We are a medicated society because so many people are depressed. So many people are worried. So many people are anxious. There's so many things that joy, actually the joy of the Lord, the scripture says, is our strength. And it's so powerful, because God's joy is an unstoppable force, because it's not tied to circumstance. It flows from the Holy Spirit. So that means that it cannot be deflated by negative circumstances. It cannot be deflated by you having a bad day. It cannot be deflated by you getting fired from work. It cannot be deflated by anything. It's an unstoppable force that flows from the innermost parts. So joy is so important, I believe, in our day for a Christian to have. because there's so many people that need to see that fruit on display.
That's right.
Another one is peace. And I like what Philippians 4:7 says. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. So what that says to me is that God's peace will keep you where you need to be, even when you don't understand everything that's going on. And that's important, that God is talking about here a peace that is greater than knowledge. So even when you don't know what's going on, you don't know how things are going to play out, you don't know what's going to happen at your job, you don't know what's going to happen with your boss, you don't know what's going to happen with your family member, you can still have a peace that surpasses your understanding. This is so important because I see people more than ever worried. They're concerned about things. They're anxious about things. But if they really understood what the fruit of peace meant and to allow the Holy Spirit to develop peace in them, it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter because God is got it under control. God at any point can step in and supersede. We serve a God that's unstoppable. We serve a God of the supernatural. Amen. We serve a God that can make miracles happen. So it doesn't matter what it looks like at any given moment because we serve a miraculous God. And because I know that, I can be at peace. Because it doesn't matter what the devil does, as long as I'm in position with the Holy Spirit and I'm developing in my peace, I'm going to be all right. I'm not worried. Amen? Amen? What's the scripture say? Worry doesn't add a day to your life. So we take this fruit, the fruit of peace. And then we take also the fruit of patience. Many Christians can wait upon the Lord, but they can't wait upon each other. Amen? They can wait upon the Lord, but people get on their last nerve. We don't have patience for each other. It's so important. God instructs us to grow in patience. Be patient with the lost. Be patient with other believers. Patience is a tricky fruit because it's often developed by going through patience growing situations. So how do you grow in patience? By having to exercise patience with people. That's how we grow in our patience. It's like when you go to the gym, how do you grow your muscle? By stretching your muscle to the very, and breaking it down, right? Well, it's the same thing with patience. It's like you have to stretch your patience to the total extreme if you want to grow in patience. So God, He puts us in environments. He puts us in situations. He puts us in relationships with people that stretch our patience to the very end, right? Because He wants you to grow. So next time somebody gets on your last nerve, tell them, thank you, I'm growing. Really? I'm serious. I'm growing. Right now I'm growing in my patience. Look at somebody. Look at their face. Tell them, you're growing.
I think there's a flip side to this too. Oh, y'all are really growing over here.
That like really strung a chord.
It's a little buzz. There's another side to this too. Because I think some of us struggle when we're lacking the Holy Spirit being greater in our lives. And we lose our patience with God too. We become frustrated with Him because we lack understanding when we go through things. And, you know, in some translations, instead of the word patience, the word that's used is long-suffering, which means to suffer long or to endure. You know, something that I've learned along the way is trying times produce endurance. You know, it produces not just that, but from that comes character. And that is what I believe is so important when we can focus on knowing, if we can truly know, and the way to know God is to allow His presence to be so great in our lives. That's why it goes back to the beginning of getting rid of stuff that's taking up the spot that is supposed to be for God to be greater. Because when you can walk with God, you can then react. You can, in a way that is more, it's above what we are naturally inclined to do. So when we are going through things that are difficult, we don't get frustrated with God. We say, God, I'm holding on to you because I know that you have proven to be true. I know who you are. So at that point, you move from knowing of God to knowing God because you have this relationship through the Holy Spirit where there's this fruit that's made now of patience, of being able to suffer long and be all right and be a witness and be a testimony and come out and then see, man, God was really faithful throughout this, all of this. So I just wanted to say that to encourage, because not a lot of people talk about that. And that's something that a lot of Christians go through when they don't understand something. They get frustrated with God. They lose their patience with God. But this is why there's this relationship with the Holy Spirit to then bridge that gap.
I love that scripture that you said too, which talks about tribulation building patience and patience building character. So that tells you if you find a person of patience, you found a person of character. Yeah. And if you found a person of character, it's because they have patience. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kindness. You know, we show his kindness, especially when we're in difficult circumstances. That's the time when you have an opportunity. When things are difficult, you can either show the kindness of God or you cannot show the kindness of God. But difficulty is our opportunity to put his kindness on display. You know, when somebody says something real nasty to you, right, you have the opportunity to put his kindness on display. That shows you got the fruit of kindness. When you're in a very difficult scenario and situation, maybe at work, maybe with coworkers, that's your opportunity to put his kindness on display. In many passages of Scripture, kindness is akin to friendship or favor. Look at what happens here in Ruth 2:10. Ruth fell at Boaz's feet and thanked him warmly. "What have I done to deserve such kindness?" she asked, "for I am only a foreigner." So she describes kindness as favor.
Right.
How have I found favor? And so when we show his kindness, it can be us showing favor to people. In 2 Samuel 9:1, one day David asked, "Is anyone in Saul's family still alive? Anyone who I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" So kindness in this regard was showing friendship. He wanted to show the kindness of God through friendship to Jonathan's family. So I believe that believers, Christians, should be the warmest, should be the friendliest people. And we should show people favor like Jesus did. We should go the extra mile. And when people are difficult, we should have a solution. When circumstances are difficult and they arise, we should have an answer that is clothed in kindness.
We try very hard with our kids to teach them scripture and also live by example in front of them. One of the scriptures that I use a lot, especially when the kids are getting at each other, "Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave you." And I think if we were to keep this like on the forefront of our minds with the way that things are, with the people around us, with the world, if we are driven by our cause and not by the Spirit, it will drive a wedge. It's division. It won't bring unity. It won't bring hope, because the source of hope is Jesus. The source of hope is the Spirit. And so when I tell the kids that, I'm reminded of it myself. Am I being kind? Am I showing the kindness of Christ? When I view people, do I view them as an inconvenience? Do I view them as, a point of frustration? And that's why I say, you know, we have to be so different. If we're dropping F-bombs on Facebook, if we're flicking people off and doing crazy things in the street when somebody cuts you off, and you got a fish in the back of your car, come on, just take the fish off, please. You know, don't represent us badly. Like, we have to be the light. We have to be the light. We cannot be like those who have no hope. We can't be led by being upset. We can't be led by our natural emotions. We can't be led by, oh my goodness, all of this is going on. The world is going to trash, you know, like that should not be what we speak. That should not be our feeling. The Spirit of God says, you know what? When I look at humanity, I see a hurt, and I see that I need to be the answer to that hurt. I need to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Let me show kindness to you today. Let me show you that there is somebody that loves you. Let me intercept people where they are and have the compassion. It's that tenderhearted part of Christ that moved him to have compassion for people. When we are moved with compassion for people, then we can show kindness.
Amen. We have goodness. You know, when we show his goodness in our life, you know, we're putting our testimony on display. Amen. We're putting what he's done for us, his goodness, on display. Romans 2:4 says, or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? Our testimony is God's invitation to others. You know, God's goodness on display in our life points others to Christ. We should have so much of God's goodness at work in our life that people look at us and say, I want some of that goodness on my life. That's how attractive we should be when we have the fruit of goodness. Goodness is also defined as uprightness of heart and life. We should reflect God's goodness in our lives. Faithfulness. Look at somebody and say, be faithful.
Be faithful.
Be faithful. If you want to go anywhere great, it takes constant effort. It takes constant. You don't stop because you have personality conflicts. You don't stop because you hit a couple of speed bumps in the road. You don't stop because you face a few challenges. Galatians 6:9 says, so let us not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. I have a little expression that I say, that we say in our family, and that is, if you do the right thing long enough, the tables will turn.
That's right.
And I think we have to remember that as believers. If you do things right for the long enough time, the tables will turn in your favor. The greatest things are in store for those that are faithful. There are great rewards for faithfulness. Matthew 25:21. Jesus telling a parable says, the master was full of praise. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling a small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Can I tell you prophetically that some of you that have been faithful in this house and faithful with the assignment that God has given you, God is about to bless you. God is about to give you more responsibility. God is about to give you more favor, more blessing. And he's going to open up new doors and windows for you in your life, because faithfulness opens doors. So develop a faithful lifestyle. And we ask ourselves sometimes, what does it take to cross the threshold of the breakthrough? Faithfulness. Amen.
I think also we view it as just loyalty, but it's more than that. If you break down the word, it's full of faith. We have to be full of faith. I've been reading this book called Spirit-Controlled Temperament by Tim LaHaye. If you guys want to pick it up, it's really good. It talks about how we all have natural temperaments and weaknesses, and how we can let the Holy Spirit transform us and help us be the Christians who live above those weaknesses. So I wanted to share a little excerpt of what he shared about faithfulness. In a vital way, faith is the key to many other Christian graces. If we really believe God is able to supply all our needs, our faith will nurture peace and joy and crowd out doubt, fear, striving, and many other works of the flesh. Many of God's people, like the nation of Israel, waste 40 years out in the desert of life because they do not believe God. Far too many Christians have grasshopper vision. They're like the 10 faithless spies sent to scout out the promised land. They saw giants there and came back to report, "We were like grasshoppers in their sight." How could they possibly know what the giants thought of them? Right. You can be sure they did not get close enough to ask. They did just what we often do, which is jumped to a faithless conclusion. Unbelief, which causes fear, always limits God's use of a life. So the Bible teaches us there's two sources of faith. The first is the word of God in the life of a believer. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The second is the Holy Spirit, as stated in the scripture we're talking about today in Galatians, in the fruits of the Spirit. And we have to apply both of them. You know, and this is something, and you might get tired of me saying it, but I'm going to say it anyway. If a true Christian reads their word and prays every day, a true Christian, you can't, every day we need a new measure. We need a new deposit of what God is doing. We cannot, you know, that was so symbolic about with manna and how the manna would not carry over to the next day. You know, if we can't get the word of God in us, what happens after a few weeks go by, a few months go by, and something happens and you do not have the fresh current word that God has for you, that's speaking to you in the moment, that is your strength to stand on, your promise that God has spoken to you. The word never returns void. And if you can challenge yourself, you don't have to wait till the beginning of the year to make a resolution, to make sure that you are constantly inputting the word of God, that you are constantly connecting with him through prayer and rehearsing the words, the word of the Lord, you will see your faith strengthen. You will see your faith increase. So we have to live our lives in a way that's welcoming to him. I heard Bill Johnson give this brilliant example. He said he likes to think of the Holy Spirit as a dove on his shoulder. And he says, when I move with that in mind. I'm not doing rush. I'm not going over here. I'm keeping in mind what is happening when I move with the dove. Am I going to startle it? No. And so many of us forget our lives. We live our lives day to day. We get so busy. We do this. We go there. We talk about this. We do that. And it's like, do we forget that the Spirit is always present?
That's right.
How can we cater to him to be bigger? How can we be sensitive to him? How can we make sure that our ears are open to what he's saying to us in the moment if we're so crowded and loud with other stuff? So with that said, you know, I want to encourage you. The Holy Spirit is a person. It's not just this mystical thing, you know. God wants to be so real to us. That's what he left behind for us here on this earth, to have a connection with. That's how we can connect with him. You know Jesus died for our sins, and we're celebrating that very soon, you know, with Resurrection Sunday. But today, the reason that God gave us this word about the Holy Spirit is because we do not want to be the people that walk around powerless. The Spirit is the one who gives us power. And some of you have been asking, why haven't I seen this? And why haven't I seen this in my life? And where is this? And let me tell you, when we can walk closely with the Spirit and the Spirit speaks to us and the Spirit begins to show us the way, we will begin to see things line up. But it's only when we make room for him. He is a gentleman. He won't force himself on you. He's going to wait for you to welcome him with open arms, with opening the door and say, God, I'm letting you in. I'm letting you take out the stuff that needs to go out. And I'm allowing you to put these fruits in me. I'm going to, you know, like I'm telling you. Sorry, I feel so passionate about this. Like, we have made changes in our personal lives. Because the further that we go, the more we realize there's so much that is not worth holding on to. There's so much that, you know, that we would give up because we want to see the glory of God fulfilled in this place, in our home, in the lives of those that we see every week, you know. And so this is the beginning of something great. You know, God has been helping us plow the ground here. And I want you to know that if you can grab a hold of this word, God is going to help explode things in your life. He's going to help explode things in our lives. He is thrusting us forward, but we have to be obedient. How many of you want to be obedient to the will of God?
I think you started to touch on gentleness, but Gentleness, of course, is a fruit of the Spirit as well. Proverbs 15:1 says, a gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make tempers flare. In life, people are going to say things that's going to test your salvation. Amen. I see it in person. I see it on social media, stuff that makes you want to react. But instead of reacting, what if we responded in gentleness, with the fruit of gentleness? And so this is an opportunity for us to dig deep and have a gentle response. When people are angry, be gentle and kind in response. Being gentle is not weak. Gentle is aware of the weaknesses in others when they are displaying the worst of themselves. Gentle is not weak. Gentle is aware of the weaknesses of others when they're displaying the worst of themselves. Galatians 6:1 says, dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path and be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. It's a godly and mature thing to gently restore people. So that means that this is a fruit that has to do with us maturing and growing and being godly, when we can be gentle and help people get back to where they need to be in God. Self-control. Control yourself. Control your selfish nature. Control your temper. Control that lust, that fear. Control that mind. We should model a life that the self is under the control of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Self-control. We should model a life that is under the control of the Holy Spirit. Maybe the most difficult thing, Scripture says it is the most difficult thing to control, is the tongue. James 3:2 says, indeed, we all make many mistakes, for if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. So we control our actions, we control our words, and we allow space. Would you close your eyes with me today? I like what Pastor Corinne said about creating space. So much of this is allowing space in our lives for the Holy Spirit to do work in us. The other part is what we consume. Talked about that at the beginning. What are we consuming? You know, are we consuming the Word of God? Are we consuming the things of God, the promises of God, conversations about God? Are we consuming other things that are like empty carbs, fast food and unhealthy foods, unhealthy fruits, the wrong fruits? I just want to pray for you today that the Holy Spirit would activate the fruits in your life, especially the ones that you're lacking right now. What's the most important fruit to grow in today? The one you're lacking. The ones you're lacking in. We all have lacks. We all go to the Holy Spirit to help us grow. And we need so desperately to grow in the fruit. The world needs to see these fruits. The world will be touched by these fruits. The world will be changed by these fruits. The world would see what we have as attractive as we put the fruit on display. So, Father, I just pray for each and every person that's here. God, touch our heart. You know what fruit we're lacking in today. I pray that you would just activate the growth process in those fruits. Maybe it's love. Maybe we need to grow in love. Maybe it's joy. Maybe we've just been kind of walking around with just a sad face, a wrong countenance. God, maybe we need more joy. Or maybe we've been worried. Maybe we've been anxious. Maybe we can't even go to sleep at night because we're just playing things over and over and over and over again in our mind. Maybe we need the fruit of peace. Maybe we're always getting angry at the kids or at a friend or at a family member. Maybe we need to grow in patience. God, you know the area that we need to grow in. So I just thank you that you would just activate that in this process, in this time as we're seeking out the Holy Spirit during this series, God, during these few weeks, Lord. Father, let us really, really grow in the fruits of the Spirit. God, because when we display the fruits, we display the nature of Christ.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.